You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The recent elections in Nicaragua saw Daniel Ortega win for the fourth consecutive time. Ortega initially became president of the Central American nation in the 1980s after leading a successful socialist revolution. However, his current tenure began in 2006 and has been characterized by more authoritarian policies, including human rights abuses, violent crackdowns on protesters, and corruption. This year's election was marred by controversy, as 80% of eligible voters abstained, while seven of Ortega's opponents were arrested before voting began. Louis was joined by Kai Tala, who is a global studies professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara. They spoke about the election, Ortega's regime, and the impacts beyond Nicaragua. To start, Louis asked for an overview of what had happened leading up to and during the election.
On Sunday, Nicaragua held presidential elections, and this marked the fourth time in a row that President Daniel Ortega was running for office, and the second time in a row with his wife, First Lady and current Vice President Rosario Murillo, as his running mate. Now, this election was different from past ones, however, in that Ortega and Murillo, rather than facing open opposition, had arrested seven leading potential opposition presidential candidates who were not allowed to compete. And Ortega and Murillo were only running against a small set of essentially hand-picked parties who collaborate with their government and the ruling Sandinista National Liberation Front Party. Ortega and Murillo have remained in power despite widespread condemnation for a 2018 crackdown on pro-democracy protests, in which over 320 people were killed. And the opposition at this point is very fragmented. The government has suppressed all protests and established a dictatorship.
Yeah, that's something I did want to touch on, because you've been quite vocal that this election especially is representing kind of a slide towards dictatorship in Nicaragua. Could you explain that a little bit more, please?
So the 2016 elections were already far from free and fair. The government had, before Election Day, interfered with the main opposition party and replaced their leadership, making it impossible for its original candidate to run against them. They have, at a variety of times, removed the legal status of opposition parties who they considered threats or annoyances to them. They've also revoked the legal status of dozens of non-governmental organizations, including human rights organizations and relief organizations. So even before 2018, this was already a country well down the path towards authoritarianism. From the 2018 protests onwards, which began in April of that year, the government really moved into a much more repressive situation where all protests were banned.
He compared these to the trials of people involved in the U.S. Capitol riots, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes. So Ortega has portrayed the opposition as being puppets of the United States who were trying to organize a coup against his legitimate government. And while the U.S. had provided some financial support for Nicaraguan civil society organizations, there remains no evidence of any sort of coordination in planning these protests. And the United States government also provided quite a great deal of financial assistance to Ortega's government itself, and cooperated with the Ortega Murillo government on anti-drug trafficking efforts, on free trade. So this was not a situation of openly considering Ortega and Murillo enemies and trying to topple them.
In terms of the election, I saw that around 80% of Nicaraguans abstained from voting. Alongside the protests you've mentioned earlier, was this sort of a boycott from people within Nicaragua?
This was a de facto boycott by many people. The opposition was organizing on social media and very quietly within Nicaragua, trying to get people to stay home and not to vote. Some people who may have been less politically engaged also likely didn't vote because they were afraid of potential violence in the streets or pressure from government agents, or they simply knew that this was a fait accompli. Ortega and Murillo were going to win no matter what, so why take the time to go vote? Many people who did participate in voting were government employees who were very closely monitored and essentially have to go vote and support the government, have to attend pro-government demonstrations. Now, this is not to say that the government has no support within Nicaragua. There remain somewhere around 20 to 25% based on independent polls of the population who support the government.
And I guess this recent election, it's been said it's going to have quite a big regional impact because of people leaving the country. I think since 2018, there's been 100,000 people leaving Nicaragua. Could you explain that a little bit more and the impacts it could have to other countries in Latin America and the United States as well?
So over 100,000 Nicaraguans have fled the country since 2018, many of them due to fear of persecution by the government. Hundreds of thousands of Nicaraguans participated in mass protests in 2018, and that means they're seen by the government and its supporters as enemies. So many of them are fleeing out of fear. For others, it's seeking economic opportunities because Nicaragua's economy was going into decline. The 2018 crackdown led to a drop in tourism, a drop in foreign investment, and then the COVID-19 pandemic hit. So the economic system, while Nicaragua's economy hasn't collapsed, it's quite poor. So for many people, they don't see any possibilities of political change. They don't see improving economic prospects. And so they've decided to leave. Historically, and still today, most Nicaraguans who leave the country head towards Costa Rica, to their neighbor. Costa Rica has been struggling a bit with this, with tens of thousands of Nicaraguans arriving. There's been some increasing xenophobia and backlash in Costa Rica, but there have also now been tens of thousands of Nicaraguans making the dangerous journey northwards and trying to reach the United States, where they're running into strong efforts to reduce migration and keep more people from Central America from entering the US.
Speaking about the United States, obviously they've had quite a bit of engagement in the region in the past, especially in Nicaragua. They issued a statement claiming that the election was neither free nor fair, I think a few days ago. Do you think we can expect any action from American and other pro-democracy actors?
So President Biden has already signed into law the RENACER Act, which had passed Congress before the elections, and that calls for increasing targeted sanctions against government officials, including members of Ortega and Murillo's family, who are involved in a wide number of businesses and government posts. It calls for reviewing Nicaragua's membership in the regional Central America Free Trade Agreement, as well as investigating corruption in the Ortega Murillo family and trying to expose that. There will be further diplomatic actions taken by the U.S. and potentially further economic efforts to stop free trade with Nicaragua and also possibly pressure the International Monetary Fund and other international lenders to restrict loans to Nicaragua, which
is there. hesitancy from within America to involve in Nicaragua, given the controversies in the past, such as their funding for the Contras and support for the Somoza family?
There is certainly a recognition of the historical, unproductive and interfering role of the United States in Nicaragua, to say the least. U.S. government officials in statements recently have been very careful to say that they want to work with regional partners. They don't want this to be the United States working alone. There's also a great deal of reluctance to take harsher, broad economic measures like restricting trade and restricting international lending, because the impacts of that are likely to fall hardest on poor Nicaraguans, while members of the government and their associates who are wealthier can move their assets around and adjust. So I think the preference of the U.S. would be to work with regional allies. And there's also been a lot of frustration with Ortega and Murillo from within Latin America, including from more left-wing governments. So this is not simply an ideological struggle like in the 1980s.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.